Now, this is what I'm talking about, human beings. And I'm telling them that is wrong. No biting. So I take my two fingers and go to his tiny bum bum. Twack, twack, twack. No biting. What am I doing? I'm training him how to be what? A person. He can't go around the streets tomorrow fighting people for everything he wants. Which is what armed robbers do. You see? A trait of a life that has not been trained with the Spirit of God. What am I saying? So you see one man, he's humanizing around town. You see, what you should feel for him is what? Pity. It's not about religion. It's about godlessness. Because if he doesn't have the knowledge of God, he cannot control the nature of the flesh. That's why Paul will say the deeds of the flesh are evident. That's why I'm writing that book. Because you see, people want to just control the flesh. I look at them all the time. The other day we were talking about, what is his name? This man was speaking on TV. Larry King Live, Elton John. And I looked at him and shook my head and I said, God, I thank you for the knowledge of you. This man doesn't know anything. George Bush, because he was a Christian, George W. Bush, all right, was known for, like, this HIV control thing, he didn't use to approve money for share out condoms, you know, that kind of thing. He didn't use to approve money for it. He believed in abstinence because of his own faith, all right? And so he used to sponsor abstinence programs. And Elton John was saying, now listen to this. Now, Elton John, he's a homosexual. Elton John is married to another man because it is legal in his country. Are you getting my point? Who's Elton John if you don't know? Remember the Diana's funeral? He sang Candle in the Wind. So this is a homosexual man who is currently married to a man, sitting down on TV and making a statement. He said, no, that what George Bush is doing is not right. That abstinence programs don't work. You know the fact? He's not lying. What I mean is that he's not trying to deceive you. He's just that he's wrong. I don't know whether you get my point. He's not trying to deceive you. It's just that he's wrong. He couldn't, listen, he knows inside him, he will have loved to love a woman, but he loves men. So he subscribed, all right, to the philosophy and the science that it is not you, it's your genes. It's not because you are bad. That's how God made you. Oh, sorry, God didn't make you. That's how you evolved out of your great-grandfather, the monkey. It's not your fault. He has found it impossible to take hold of his sexual urge. And therefore, when you tell him that you can explain to somebody else that you can abstain, he doesn't get the point. So he stays very calmly and says, please stop deceiving people. The abstinence works. It doesn't work. You know the fact? Without God, it actually doesn't work. And bring out something here. The ability to control the human, the fleshly nature, all right, is something endowed by the Spirit of God. That's why Paul said, we'll get there in Galatians chapter 5. He said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The flesh has natural desires. I give the child as an example. You see the parent trying to retrain. They didn't say it's natural for the child to fight for everything. They didn't say it is natural for a child to be aggressive. They said, yes, this is what comes naturally, but we will not teach you what is right. The ability to know that which is right comes from the Spirit of God. Do you get my point? So when you see men misbehaving, they are selfish. All right? They are immoral. Is not, oh God, I'm not saying that we forgive them entirely. Okay, that's why God forgives very easily. Let me tell you the truth about God. He doesn't punish people who do things that are natural. He punishes those who, when he offers them truth, I don't know whether I'm making my point, they reject it. Those are the people he goes after. Paul said that God had mercy on me. He knew I was doing it in ignorance. Those he really punishes are those who say, okay, that's what I wrote in that book, Choice is Key to Destiny. He said, okay, this is how you have gone all your life. I know it's not your fault. Now, I have come, inside you I put a craving, all right, for that which is right. Now I have brought the knowledge of right to you. When you reject that knowledge of right, that's where wahala begins. Please, you are following the point I'm making. In all these things, you are following what I'm going to explain. What I'm saying is that these are the things that God saw and said Jesus must come. And that's why he brought forth a nation called Israel. He did not say their laws are the laws that the people of Jesus will follow. He didn't say so. It's just said that, look, I need to bring forth these people so that I can bring forth a solution to train men, to infuse them with the Spirit, so that they will not become baboons. Do you understand my point? So that they will really become what I created them to be. That's why I find that Christianity is not the religion at all. It is not about you are a Christian, I'm a Muslim. It is not about you believe in Guru Maharaj, may I believe in Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? It's like telling the fish, you like to swim in water, me, I will swim in kerosene. No, you understand the logic? It's we are all fish, alright? We are all fishes. So, you swim inside the crude oil, you are from Niger Delta. Me, I will swim inside sand, I'm from Sahara Desert. Oh boy, you don't get clean water, you're dead. That is, it's not, nobody's angry with you. It's not a religious matter, it's a life matter. He said, you know me, I don't believe all this vitamin B12. What do I need vitamin B12 for? I don't eat anything that contains vitamin B12. Why? Because my taste, all right, I prefer iron and calcium and the radioactive substances like uranium and polonium. You will just become anemic. Your bone marrows will develop leukemia and then you die. That's all. That's all. That is all. It's not a church matter. Do you understand my point? That is how the knowledge of Christ is. Let me summarize it like this. If you can get what Christ brings from another place, then go and get it. You don't need him. No, that's the summary of it. If what Jesus Christ brings into the life of people, you have it available somewhere else, please believe me sincerely, then go and get it from there. I will never offer you my Christ Jesus again. Except that I will stay there. You will soon come back. You will soon come back. You will have run around and found that, look, boy, this thing is not anywhere else. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He wasn't bragging. Are you following my point? No, he wasn't bragging. He just made a statement of fact, which he wished people would understand. That's all. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, I hope you've understood some things I've said so far. All right, I've said different things there. But what I was trying to explain all of this is simple. That this was what the nation of Israel represented. A conduit, all right, for the delivery of this love that God has for mankind. All right? And therefore, it is not as if they are the reasons why we exist. No. It is that, look, God had the purpose for everybody. Just like I said, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to believe. In the same manner, the nation of Israel that God used to bring him forth still had to believe. Therefore, even though they brought forth Jesus, all right, if they didn't believe in him, they stand condemned. Not because God is angry, but because what Jesus came to represent, you have rejected it. He said he came unto his own. His own did not receive him. As many as received him. You see, that's just the way it goes. And that's what Paul was explaining in this book of Galatians and here and there. And that's why I said I will jump over everything. Because I've said spent so much time, we've been on this chapter 3 forever. I really want to jump, all right? So he said the promise, all right, was first given to Abraham. And God made it clear to Abraham that you are going to be a father of many nations, not just a father of the Jewish nation, but a father of the African nation. You are going to be a father. Now, directly, he was not the father of the African, but he said that those who are really, all right, the offsprings of Abraham, verse 29, and if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's offspring, and you have become heirs according to promise. That's what he was saying. You'll see the reason why I emphasize this. Let's just go on to chapter 4. He was not explaining. He said, as long as he has a child, he does not differ from a slave, but although he's owner of everything, but he's under guardians and managers until the day set by the father. Now, I want to just explain something here. In this chapter 4, what he was explaining was that thing I said to you earlier about the nation of Israel. That there was a reason that God brought them forth, and there is a reason why God preserved them. The reason, like I said, was so as to bring forth the particular day in which the promise of God will be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And so he now said, now let me say this. Please, I want to read quickly something, verse 8. He said, however, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who were by nature, which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by him, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? Notice verse 10. You observe days and months and seasons and years. That these are things that are commandments that you are becoming enslaved to all over again. He said, I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. Now, so what was Paul explaining here? I just want to quickly explain that. He was talking about the fact that before the promise came, we were like slaves and servants. Is that okay? And that applied not only to the Jewish nation, but to all the nations of the earth. Now, let me say something about children. Children are brought up by law. Do you understand? You don't need to explain to a child why he shouldn't go out without his shoes or your slippers initially. You just give him the order. Bam. The first reason he has for not going out without wearing his slippers is to avoid the twerking that mommy or daddy might apply. You are the one that understand that you don't want him to step on a broken glass, step on thorns, step on this or step on that. He can't appreciate that. But he can appreciate that the last act of disobedience got a just recompense of reward. Even though you did not wait for him to walk out without his slippers, to get injured. Once you saw him, at least, that's what I did to my kids. Once I see you outside without your slippers, all I say, I don't say, don't you know you can be injured? No. Do you remember that I told you you must not come out without wearing something? Now, that's how you train children. Because they are obeying their instinct. Is that okay? But when they become adults, all right, you start reasoning. Do you understand? You start thinking. So Jesus would say that, you see, no longer do I call you servants. Now I call you my friends. Because a servant does not know what the master is doing. Just obeys instruction. That's the end of it. But friends, we discuss. We talk. We are, you know, we are men to men, women to women. We talk to ourselves. We know you cannot be friends with somebody who can't reason with you. You understand what I'm saying? That's just the logic. So now, the law. Now, that's where I'm going. The law was meant to help the children grow without getting injured. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason why thou shalt not commit adultery under the old covenant was simple. You know the reason? The law says so. Now, I don't know where you get the point. That is, why shall you not commit adultery? Ah, it's a commandment. One of the 10 written on the tablet of stone kept inside the Ark of Covenant. Why is it that thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods? It is a commandment. Why is it that thou shalt not bear false witness? Ah, it is a commandment. That's what he said when he said the law came by Moses. Now, please follow what I'm going to explain. But for the Christian, number one, there are many things. Number one, the Spirit of Christ in you first stimulates something. Number one, it starts leading you in the right direction. Then secondly, with promises and understanding, you become like friends. No longer do I call you servants. You start understanding why I don't do this, why I don't do that. Do you get my point? For example, you find out that evil spirits are out there. That's a matter of fact. Crosses are hanging all over the air. The devil is prowling around looking for whom he might devour. That's the scripture. That is, if Satan has, if he can, he will chop you. You know that, don't you? I know that. Paul said, let's not be ignorant. Therefore, but we have come to understand, and we have been teaching it, that he can't just pounce upon anybody he wants. So Paul said, don't give room to the devil. The prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. So we make sure he doesn't have anything in us. What are the things that he needs? So now say, you see, this is the problem. All the uncleannesses of the flesh. Oh, is that English correct? Uncleannesses. No. Anyway, there's a way we modify this in English. All the deeds of uncleanness, right? You see, we got it. Those are the things that he's going to hang on. Like one of my friends said, if I tell you these two stories, it'll make you laugh. We're in the office the other day, we were discussing, a number of us men, all of us lecturers, we are doing exams right now, a lot of things, something will come up and we're just used to it. So I was telling my friends about a senior friend of mine, who one day, I was in his office, he showed me a text that one girl sent to him. And the girl was very angry with him. One young girl, in a senior man. He said that the girl is like, I hate you. He said, I shouldn't mind this stupid girl. And the girl came to his office, I think, earlier in the day. And I was like, this is their relationship. How is it going? And look at her. Are you an idiot? Me and you, which kind of relationship? Because you need money. You come to my office, I dash you money. Oh, you think every man that gives a girl money is chasing her or what? So my friend, will you get away from there? So the girl was so hot and disappointed. She now sent him a text that I hate you. He just deleted it. He said, that stupid girl. He said, look at me. Oh. He was telling me that. He said, bank, see me, see wahala. He's a nice man, you know. He said, just because I dash this girl money. Because she just come to my office. Oh, guy, I need something. I just feel sorry for her. He's a student. I give her money. And I came now. Was there. So anyway, this is the story where I'm going to listen to this. He said, look, he said, bank, let me tell you the truth. This is not about a disease or HIV or anything. He said, some of these girls, you sleep with them once, all your good luck will just vanish. Now, when he said it there, it was funny. But he said, I understood spiritual truth. I said, what this man said is just correct. Bam! So when I told my friend said, let him give you Jesus. And one day he went to Abuja. He went to see one man. The man is a military officer, high ranking one. So that when he entered the office, when he first entered, he knew there's a lot of young women outside. So when he entered the office, and the man were talking. He said, you see those girls, don't mind them. He said, I know they do again. I know they do. They should all go away. He said, before when I used to follow these girls, he said, one trouble after another. Today, his car will have accident. Tomorrow, sickness will go on. He said, that he can't wallow when he suffer. He said, but since he left them alone, he said, if you see how his life is straight now, He said, let them tell them. They have a back door. They don't know. He said, let them stay there. Then when I'm ready to go, I go out through the back. I enter my car. I am gone. So my friend, they were laughing. That was about 3 days ago in the office. We really having a nice time laughing. But the person who and I were talking, he's also a teacher of the word, all right? You understand these things, all right? So we understand that, look, this is what Satan is doing. Seeking who he may devour. When Balak wanted to devour the children of Israel and he couldn't, Balaam quickly gave him the trick. This is how Satan will get into their lives. Now, you see, that's why the law came by Moses. But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Truth is that we understand why we shouldn't go out without our slippers. Are you getting my point? That's what he meant when he said that no one says, where is God my maker? Who makes me wiser than the beasts of the field and the birds of the air? The Bible says clearly, he said, the man who commits adultery with a woman is not wise. He's a very foolish man. It's in Proverbs. Because what he has done, he has opened himself unto what? The power of death. It scatters businesses, scatters homes, makes children mental. Listen to this. Did you hear what I said? A lot of young men are out of their normal minds because of the iniquity of their fathers. So when you look at your children and you love them, you go behave yourself. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? That's what Paul was explaining. Now, to keep these people who didn't have understanding, who did not have the right spirit in check, God gave strict laws. Whether you understand it or not is your personal problem. Don't pollute the land. Because if you pollute the land, now how do we bring forth Jesus Christ? Don't pollute the land. He will punish them here and there just to preserve the land, that Jesus might come out of that country. Don't pollute the land for me. So he put strict laws. And listen, this is one of the things. To make the laws of God easy. Oh God, so many things to say. If you read the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I explained something about seeds, all right? And fruit. That faith is in two levels. There is faith as a seed. And then there is what? Great faith. And that's a fruit. That's a gift. That is, oh ye of little faith. All right? That's too small. But if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed. Now, listen to this. The ability to move a mountain is not small thing, no. Not a big thing. But the man who will remove the mountain, he doesn't need big faith. He needs what? Small faith. He will use that small faith to do the will of God. Then God will pour upon him great faith and the mountain will disappear. That's a simple arithmetic of how it works. Simple arithmetic. I'm bringing out something. So God used to give the children of Israel certain basic laws that were not only easy to obey, they were actually interesting to obey. Let me explain. Every year you have maybe three festivals. Who not like festival? I don't know whether you get the point. Who not like festival? How many Muslims are here? Nobody. But how many of you celebrate Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Kabri? All of you. Because of free goats. Free ram. Apart from those of you, your religion forbids. But some of us, meat na meat, if you like. Kill as a Muslim or a Christian. Bring her, whack. So that time you go to hear say, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Kabri is coming. You're not a Muslim. But at least 2 days holiday guaranteed. No work, no school. And then, if you come from my own part of the country, you guys from the east, you don't understand. Not many Muslims here. But where I come from, your neighbor will be Muslim. So nothing spoil. You don't see the ram. Do meh. You know, say, this ram shall soon lay down his life for the brethren. So in the morning next day, you greet your papa, say, daddy, good morning. And they come. Stroke with your friend house. Sit down with them. You now go roast the ram. Cut your portion, chop. You guys, you know, I mean, I served in the north. Once it's celebration time, I don't say meat. Elijah must send me meat. That's the wife of the chief of the village. 1 whole kg, 2 kg of real. In fact, I remember one day I go market because I live with one guy, Lawal. He's a pharmacist, he's a Muslim. You know, they're just division of labor in our house, all right? I used to do the cooking, he used to do the washing up of the plates. He couldn't cook, na Lagos boy. But I said, I can't cook, and then you just chop and go away. So he would do the. He wash up the whole place and all of that. So one day, I wanted to warm stew that we just made with all the meat we would buy put inside. Because the accommodation was not very good. It was a nice apartment, sergeant's quarters, except that there was no furniture. So our sitting room, there were no chairs. Though we had a sitting room. So you just bed, nothing. So most of the time, you want to sit down, you have to sit on your bed. We had beds. So while I was warming my stew, now I go sit down for bed. I know when you sit on the bed, after a while, you have to lie down on the bed. And when you lie down on the bed, after a while, you have to close your eyes. And after closing your eyes, you go soon find out. I woke up 2 hours later. My stew don't roast. That is, the thing roast. The meat in the center became like bushmeat. That way they don't dry. Everything where I cook, burn properly. 2 hours. Just warm this thing small. I was so depressed. I feel very bad. This is not used copper, you know. We know this is enough to, you know, you know, it wasn't so, you know, you get what I mean? You can't just lose food like that as a copper. What do you mean? So that day, I was still bemoaning my loss. Then I saw a car drive up in front. And I recognized the car immediately because of the kind of horn that was in front. Now chief's car be that. And the driver come down, carry one bag. So Elijah said, I should give you. Tell Elijah, Yaikiel, God bless her very much. It was the replacement for all the years that the locust ate and the palmer worm and the canker worm. Behold, God restored double unto me. I mean, and I'm not a Muslim. It was festival. Now I'm bringing out something. So when God will give commandments, so you guys are celebrate 3 times a week, a year. Is it bad? It's not bad. Is it a bad thing? You just sacrifice. Those sacrifices, they didn't use to burn everything. You cut some part, burn. Cut this fat here, do this one. You should burn and tell the Lord. The Lord was very wise. This is present me, they burn everything. They know go sacrifice again. So, cut some portions, you burn that. Then the priest will come, take his portion. Then the rest, now chopping. I mean, you must chop on that day. Yearly, there was a tithe. The tithe was meant to be what? Chopped. Every year, you will tithe your produce and chop it. Who not like party? Are you getting what I'm saying? Even children, when you say that, tomorrow is so and so, they begin to dance. All they are thinking of, Coke, Fanta, ice cream, you know. That's what God expected, though. So he gave the children of Israel, mostly, go and check it. They were mostly holidays and festivals. And then he said, once a week, don't work. I mean, who likes to work? No, No, think about it. One day of the week, don't go anywhere. If your friend's daughter is marrying too far away, you can't go. They had what they call a Sabbath day's journey. Now, you get what I'm saying? God said, look, these are the seeds of faith. That's what I'm explaining. They were easy to do. Not only were they easy, they were actually desirable. A Sabbath day, we don't do anything. We just sit down, walk to the synagogue nearby, learn the word of God, then socialize after, you know, network. You know what I mean? Social networking. Introduce your son to my daughter, you know what I'm saying, on the outside, then introduce your business to me. We arrange everything. Sabbath day. Then we'll go, we'll cross our legs and just be watching the stars and drinking and relaxing. I think it's a nice thing. But these were commandments. Why? They were easy to obey. You obeyed them. Now listen. You obeyed them and then God guides you. This is how it works. Into obedience in bigger things. Listen. Once you gather like that every Sabbath, once you sacrifice periodically, once you approach the temple, that constant interaction, all right, reminds you of how not to steal, reminds you of how not to kill, reminds you of how not to take vengeance, it reminds you of all or how to apportion your produce, it reminds you of how to respect old boundaries, it reminds you of all the more difficult laws. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because you were what? Sinner by nature. Now, that's what I'm trying to say. Because they were what? Sinners by nature. So God gave them simple procedures for overcoming sin until sin will no longer be a nature. Until righteousness will be a nature in Christ Jesus. So he said we were children, like servants, held by tutors, laws, until the time that the promise will come. Are you getting what I'm explaining? Do you understand? So the man who normally will have coveted his neighbor's goods, because he goes to the temple 3 times a year to go and celebrate, because he observes the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because he does those basic things, he discovers that before he finally gets to coveting his neighbor's goods, another Sabbath has come. He has gone to the temple. They have warned him again. You are getting what I'm saying? Now, this is what Paul was now saying. You that have now inherited the promise, what is your problem with obeying the things that were meant to keep sinners by nature in check? Listen, now, let's quickly read it. I hope you are following what I'm explaining. I want to quickly close. Time is good. He said, but now, verse 9, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. Paul said, you know my problem now? I am afraid that all the teaching of Christ that I give to you is of no effect. If you need those things to keep you in check for righteousness' sake, then I have labored in vain. Now, are you getting the point? The issue was not just that the law, in fact, you said it earlier, is the law bad? Not as if the law in themselves, in itself, is bad, except that you are applying it to the wrong people. Now, for those of you who are interested, this is just my best example. You know, the issue of tithing, I have studied it extensively, all right? Nobody can sway me on it right now. I have studied it plenty, all right? And I've come to the conclusion that everything we practice in Christianity today, all right, is just lifted from Judaism. They say it was before the law. It's not true, all right? It's not true. I don't have time to discuss that. Tithing was first mentioned under the law. You see, Abraham paid the tithe once, only once, to Melchizedek, and that was not tithing. Tithing is a man who believes that regularly he has to do it. Abraham was observing customs, all right? And under his custom, he had to honor a man that he met. That's all. So anything he had on him, he gave from it. Look, so let's forget that, all right? Now, so the practice, is that okay? Was first introduced under the law. And you know what Moses said? It was so that you may learn to fear the Lord thy God. It was strict. That is, you don't have to be kind to the widow. That's your personal pronoun, whether you are kind or not. You must drop your tithe in the storehouse. then the society will be kind to the widow. Do you? I don't know whether I get the point. You don't have to be kind to the fatherless. You don't have to respect the priest. It's your personal problem. As long as you obey the law, the priest will have no issue. Do you understand my point? The widow will have no issue. The needy will have no issue. As a society, we have described the laws, all right, that will take care of everything. So God commanded them, this is how everything will be. Is that okay? All right? Now, when it came to the New Testament, people now come and tell me that if you don't tithe, you will die and go to hell. I say, how can you talk that kind of nonsense? The Christian, God demands, no, I don't want to be the word demand. God has commanded into his heart by as the Spirit of Christ, the principle of generosity. God has poured into his heart as a what the Bible calls, thy law is within my heart. All right? There is a principle that God expects, God has poured in him as the Spirit of Christ, which if he will study the scriptures, it will erupt out of him. It's called the spirit of generosity. He has learned to give. He has become, like I said in that tract, he has become a cheerful giver. You are not supposed to motivate him with fear of devourer. It's an insult. It's an insult. No, simply put, it's an insult. You're not supposed to motivate him with what he will get. That's an insult. You can imagine my wife saying that, my husband, you know these children, if they go to school, tomorrow now when we are old, they will be able to take care of us. So why don't you look for money for their school fees? Then, after some time, come and say, you know, if they don't have books, they won't know book. And if they don't know book, it could be a problem for us later. So that in our old age, you will have peace of mind. And maybe Akinle will buy you a house, Benga will buy you a car, Amena will carry you abroad, and Victory will build you a mansion. You know, that kind of thing. Let us pay their school fees now. If you are looking forward to your children blessing you, now, right now, go and pay their school fees. Now, listen, if you heard that that is how my children get school fees, won't you go and organize prayer meeting when I'm not around? Brethren, that man has become demon possessed though. Let's cast it out. In Jesus' name, we love our Pastor Banky. Satan, you can't have him. This Satan is head. What do you expect? When it's time for fees, I go find money. Do you understand my point? That is, I'm giving honestly, expecting nothing in return, even when my children were not learning anything in school, because, you know, the first year when they go, as I was concerned, now what they call in Yoruba, jealousy. How many of you understand Yoruba here? The first level of school in Yoruba land is called jealousy. What does that mean? Allow the house to rest. So we ship you off to a place where you can go and play and clap. It's just my nature. Do you understand my point? That's why I preach the way I preach, the things I say. That is why I don't believe in all this. I have to cajole somebody to give an offering. He said, God is in this altar. Yes, it's true. He's on this sparkle here. But so is he everywhere. There are many places where you find him. Plenty places. He said that when I want to come to you, I come as one who is needy. He said, when did we see you and we clothed you? Do you understand my point? When were you hungry and we fed you? When were you in prison and we visited you? He said, as much as you did those things to the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. We Pentecostal pastors are funny. We think that now the only way to obey God, you bring the money right here. I didn't say anything, my friend. Will you get away? No, really. I believe in the getaway principle. Go away. You know what I believe? If you have a worthy cause, let us know. Do you get what I'm saying? No, really. I believe. Look, Christians, you have to be responsible. All right? Christians must learn. You know, that means there is something about being responsible. So if I give you a worthy cause, do you understand my point? And you believe in it. What do you do? You participate, you support it. It's not about if we sow here, can we get our car quickly? No, that is not very fertile ground. Come. I found one pastor that if you sow into his life, tomorrow you will buy a house. Come. That's selfishness. Satan driving people up and down. That's my reason that I disagree with a lot of things that people say. That's the reason. That's what is called observing months and years and observing new moon and seasons. That's for those who the Spirit of Christ have not yet been birthed in them. If the Spirit of Christ indeed is in you, good works is natural. Good works is what? Is natural. I don't want to start talking about money again, because a lot of times I keep on reacting to what all kind of things I see around. Paul said, Jesus looked at them and said, what is wrong with you people? A man is supposed to honor his father and his mother. You now say the money he gives in church is more important than the one he gives to his father. Therefore, if he wants to prosper in his business, you first give to the church and forget his father. He said, you have made the word of God of no effect by your traditions. What am I saying? The man with the Spirit of Christ, God gives him 2,000 naira. Inside it, the Spirit of Christ in him tells him, this 50 naira is for that your shoe. You know, you are paying instrumentally, so go and finish payment. This 100 naira, your brother told you last week, he needed to buy a scratch card to check his jam result. Oh, yeah? This one, when you go church, when you go Bible study, this one, go and use it to buy groundnut and give Pastor Banky. You hear? Uh-huh. That he might eat it and be happy. This one, have you heard that in your church, you go there right now, the covert in front is not good, and they are contributing money to repair it? You say, yes. Hey, you don't have much, but put 100 naira. I was telling my wife the other day, there was one big project somewhere costing hundreds of millions. I said, I give towards this project. She said, how much? I said, 500 naira. You can imagine the project of 1 billion. I said, did you give? I said, I did. Is that 500 naira? He said, oh, my husband. I said, yes now. The time, this was years ago. That was the money I could afford. I mean, all the money I had wasn't plenty. So by the time I shared it, I said, the project looked big. The man who said, God said he should do it, he should go ahead. This is the only thing I can contribute. So I dropped my, if I was even a pledge for your information, I didn't even have the money. So I went. Who give 1 million naira? Not me. Who's going to give 500,000? All right, God said I should call some people to give 100,000 naira. He didn't tell, definitely it's not me you're talking to. It's obvious, not be me now. Not be me. Fine, all right. Any other thing you want to give to the Lord? Write it down on a piece of paper. I took my paper, wrote my 500 bucks, dropped off offering basket. Then when I had money, I returned and put the same initials I put in the offering basket on one small envelope, put the 500 naira and put inside there. I said, bros, God be with you as you are raising your 200 million. This is the one that I can contribute. And it's not a bad thing. The widow, I mean, what did you want the widow to do? If the temple needed 1 billion naira to be completed, that's Solomon's problem as far as I'm concerned. These two mites is all I have got. What I'm saying is talking about the Spirit of Christ. By that you finish, the one that is remaining said, God, sufficient unto the day is evil thereof is true. He said, okay, so you two now, that's just the way they greet every time, by scratching 200 naira recharge card, so into your future. And you will be amazed that that day, she's just at home, she's worshiping. I worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh Lord, I just thank you because you will send me a good husband. I thank you because I'm worshiping you and all my desires are with you. And then the text will drop. Say, Lord, if I feel him right now, I feel him there. Make me the text drop. Ah! Oh boy, you don't marry without him. Are you I mean? I'm telling you. Later on in life, she's going to testify that day as I was worshipping. As I was worshipping. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. So Paul explained to the people. He said, you're observing days and months and seasons and years. That is, you are using those things that are meant for those that do not have the Spirit of Christ. You are trying to use it to put yourself in the right direction. Especially, listen, that's the problem. They became legalistic about them. Do you understand my point? I can decide that to you to be a co-worker in Kingdom World Ministries, you must pledge before God to give 10% of your income to Kingdom World. Now, it's not a sin. It just, if you can't, just come for Bible study and is a co-worker wait behind you. I know they wait. I'm not a co-worker anymore. Is it a crime? It's no, really. I'm not planning to do that just as an example. But that one, I can't be dogmatic. Do you understand my point? I can't be dogmatic about it. Just rule. I say, okay, as I was praying, God said I should do that. Well, you can't tell me God, he didn't tell me. If it doesn't gel with you, So, Pastor, I'm not a co-worker. I can help you clean chair. I'm not a co-worker. I'll help you put on the generator. I'm not a co-worker. That is, just don't use me. Don't put me. I don't want to sin if I know I can't do it. Now, you're getting my point. Not really. Believe me. Nothing wrong with it. But when I become dogmatic about it, praise the Lord. If you don't do this, your future is being devoured. There's what they call the devourer. One of my friends started going to a church once. You know why? So another of our friends that used to invite her for the church will say, ah, we're not seeing you in church. Say, they come. They go to this place. I'm busy. Alright? Then finally, she was talking to me one day. Say, Banky, you know why I know they go to your friend's church again? I said, why? He said, every time the pastor is preaching, is there anybody who's not tithing here? In fact, all the blessings God is pouring through this church is not their portion. Anyone who's not tithing in this church, all the blessings, you have missed it. Now the girl said, all right. Now this is the interesting part. She actually used to tithe, but not to that church. The young woman was a Catholic, used to go to a Catholic church and then visit my friend's church. And for whatever reason, she believed in tithing. And she said, she would go to church, she would drop her money. And when she went to another church, and they swear for them every Sunday. Every Sunday, abuse and curse, devour after you. Now, if you love yourself, yourself go miss. No, yourself go miss now. Now, you tell me in honesty, say, Banky, that is why you know they see me for there again. No? If the pastor is willing to bless, let him bless. Now, I'm adding my own words to it. If not cause in one cause, I know they go. That's what I mean by being legalistic about what God has not made a law. I was in a church once, and one man finished preaching. The Bible said, bring the whole tithe. Some of you have not been bringing the whole tithe. What is the whole tithe? If somebody dashes you a recharge card and it's 1,005, you are owing God 150. I said, when they give me lift, Tinko. And for adventure, I want to make you owe God properly. I dash you something which I know the 10% of the money you don't have. I buy you a car. Suddenly, you are owing God 300,000 because I bought the car for 3 million. You're in trouble. The brother will kill you and the car. I mean, the man was going on. I was looking at him like this. I said, okay, you can't be serious about this. I said, no, is it a joke? Are you Godons now? What is wrong with Alibaba on the pulpit? This must be a joke. The one brother beside me said, man, this is true. I said, my friend, quiet. This is called legalism, my friend. Quiet. And the guy quickly relaxed. So what is true? This is legalism. They are leading you into bondage. You say it is true. We are in time into bondage. It is true. If that's what Christianity is, I like one thing Kingsley said. Kingsley said, Pastor, God bless you. You know, God used you to liberate me. I said, how? He said, before I met you, hey, Kingsley was tithing mint and cumin, you know, like Jesus said in the Bible. If Kingsley go for road, you buy and cook, it don't amortize the value of the tithe. Before he drink and finish, I would have even taught him then. You know how to pay tithe of coke? Should I tell you? You want to know? I will tell you now. Yes. You drink 9%, 90% and pour on the floor 10%. It's called libation. you were laughing. I can show you from the scriptures. You don't have to cover it to money. Say, God, all right, you want your 10%, yeah, drink and then. why do you think the you know, also one day, my wife's friend, we're discussing, he said, I talk about principle of first fruit. I said, hey, which one? People say that first fruit is your first salary of the year. Hi. I said, Christians, eh? We pastors are very, we should have been in the mafia. We are very, very good. All these schemes just to collect people's money. It's not necessary. Listen, let me tell you, all of you listen to this. You know what happened one day? I will just wake up 1 January. One check after the other. Pastor, 10 million, kingdom what? 15 million, kingdom what? 5 million, Pastor, that one's for you. I'm serious. Those of you who are sitting down here, I'm talking about you. God will bless you to a level. You just say, ah, there's this job. They just paid us. So, guys, what do we need again? How much is our profit on it? They said 65 million. I beg. Tell pastor, all right, write two checks. 15 million for kingdom. Well, tell him to take the balance 15. We don't need anything again. And you know the funny thing? If I tell you, oh, that gift you sent last year was a blessing. He said, which one? I don't know whether I get the point. You will be blessed to a level, you'll be saying which one. Because when the money came, you did not even collect it. It just went. That's what they call Abraham's blessings. Tell people the truth. You'll be amazed. They will grow to a level. Eh? No, that's what I believe in. No. I believe that in so totally. I believe it. So anyway, I was talking to that sister that day. He said, hey, Pastor Banky, please, oh, I need to get clarification. I said, you want to know what they call first fruit? Have you seen our elders pour libation? I said, that is first fruit. Before they drink from this thing cup, they just tip small for ground. No, what I'm telling you is not a joke. That's first fruit. Because of how I went to sit down at home and get some materials, at the end of the day, first fruit is just, remember the way we would take a first tuber of yam when we're harvesting to the shrine? That was first fruit. The first tuber that came out of the earth for that season. After that harvest, a million makes no difference. What am I trying to explain all of these things? People observe months and years and seasons and new moon and old moon and all of that because the Spirit of Christ is not manifesting in them. It's so easy to practice religion. That's what we like to do. Sunday, I must be in church on Sunday, 9 o'clock. But if they say there's a teaching, intense teaching of the Word of God, you can't sacrifice anything. You would sacrifice time to go for holiday. But go and learn the scriptures. No, you don't have the time. That's observing months and seasons. Because it's Sunday, I must be in church. But the reason for gathering on Sunday, you don't even know. Paul said, if that's what is driving you, then I'm afraid that I have labored in vain. Then I want to just do something for 1 minute. Just read the rest. So he now went ahead to explain the difference between Hagar as Mount Sinai and then Jerusalem. No, sorry, I'm talking about the Jerusalem from above, which is free, and that's what I was talking about. And the summary of it is that we are descendants of the free woman, and we don't need to practice Judaism. We are not descendants, all right, of the bondwoman. I just wanted us to end that so that we'll know we'll finish chapter 4. Next time, we'll go into chapter 5. All right, the Lord is good.